you've done an awesome job of singing tonight. That just thrilled my heart, really touched me. And I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit is wonderful and powerful, and he can do a better job of organizing the services than we can. But I thought of even the opening hymn that Brother Steve chose. It really is kind of what was on my heart to say to you tonight. We're kept by the power of God. And then I thought, as you sang that beautiful chorus, I've got my mind made up. And I thought, if you would just sing that once a day for the rest of your life, that would give you the courage and the strength that you need to keep going on. And I don't think I need to ask the question tonight, how many of you want to go to heaven? We all want to go to heaven, don't we? But there's a little work for us to do between here and there. And I thought I would share with you just a little thought tonight. I was thinking as I was studying in my room today, pardon my tears, but I really appreciate each one of you young people. You mean a lot to me. You may not think you do. A lot of you, I don't know your names. Many of you, I know what families you come from, but I really can't call your name. But I watch you. I come from time to time, maybe three times a year. I watch you. I notice you. And if there's somebody missing that I have remembered before, and I think, where are they? Where are they? And it's really good to see those of you who are remaining faithful and are right there on the job doing your duty. And I was thinking, as I was studying today, you know, my life started out right here. This is the same pulpit that I remember down the basement on 6th and Locust Street on Wednesday night. I remember hearing Brother Wilson preach from this pulpit. When I come here, I have many, many memories because I was here when the camp meeting started. Back in 1955, I was 10 years old. And I have lots of wonderful memories of my youth. And I want to bring that up to you because you can have lots of wonderful memories too. You are creating your memories right now. My first time to lead youth service was when I was 16 years old. That was 51 years ago. Was a long time ago, but I thought about it. I can remember what I spoke about. I was down in the barn. That was before we started having camp meeting. And I spoke about holy following the Lord. W-H-O-L-L-Y, following the Lord. Who do we think about in the Bible when we think of two men who wholly followed the Lord? Do you young people know? Joshua and Caleb. Do you remember that? They made it into the promised land because they wholly followed the Lord. And that's our responsibility, to wholly follow the Lord. I came to know the Lord when I was 8 years old. And I loved the Lord from the start. And different times in recent times when I've been here driving around town and reminiscing, I've thanked God that he put a heart within me that loved him. Way back then, God gave me a heart that loved him and wanted to follow him. And I'm very, very thankful for that tonight because I've had a very blessed life because I started out with God and I continued with him. And that would be our desire for each one of you young people. And I wanted to commend you before we go into the lesson. I've been noticing some things as I've been here, and I counted, I think the first night I was here, and I counted 13 young men sitting on the front row. And that's thrilling to me. I am really thrilled. Not that everybody has to sit on the front row. Obviously, everybody can't sit on the front row. But you 13 young men who are sitting on the front row, many of you I see are taking notes on the messages. That is a wonderful thing to do. I learned to do that in my early years, and I haven't quit. If you see me today, even when my husband preaches, I take notes. Right. I take notes because I guess it has to do with my learning style. If I write it down, I have a better chance of remembering it. Right. And so I have stacks of notebooks from all my years of hearing the wonderful men of God preach the gospel. But you know, that has helped me. That has helped me. And I would really encourage you to do that too. Yes. I know we all have different styles of remembering, but if that would help you, it's worth the effort you put into it. And then I want to commend you on your singing. It's been wonderful. When the youth choir sang the other night, it was awesome. And I was especially excited to see the saxophones, the violins, and some of you on the piano, and I know that some of you are arranging your music and writing your music. That's exciting to me, that you're developing gifts that are useful in the work of the Lord. That's the most important thing you can do in life. You know, I told my children, I don't care what job you have in life. I don't care if you're digging ditches. I don't care if you have a college education. I don't care. As long as you serve God and you work to develop talents that are useful in the work of God. And many of you are doing that. And I encourage you to continue on. And I thought even the drama productions that Sister Karen is responsible for, many of you are active and you are right there ready to do what she's asking you to do, even whether it's setting up the scenery or actually acting in them. Those productions are a real blessing to all of us. And I appreciate the efforts that you put forth. I've seen some of you walk around with a label, your name on yourself. Now, I know you know what your name is, but I'm assuming that you're helping in Bible school. That's wonderful, too. What a blessing. I just really appreciate, and I wanted to commend you tonight for your faithfulness in serving God and do whatever I could do to encourage you to continue on. You know, when we get saved, that's just the beginning of our walk. That's the very beginning. But there needs to be a continuing. And I want you young people to know it's possible to live consistently for God. You don't have to be down, then you're up, and then you're down, and you're out of the race, then you're in the race. That's not what the rules should be. God has made a plan, and you sang tonight, we're kept by the power of God. God has all power, and He's able to keep all of you young men and young women clean, holy, pure, set apart from the world, until you go to meet Him. That's His plan. That's what God wants. And I want to tell you what. You will not miss any excitement in life by keeping yourself apart from sin. Right. I've had a thrilling life. I've had an exciting life. God has taken me on many adventures in life. He's given me many opportunities for travel that would have only come through serving Him. Back when I was 16 years old, Brother Wilson took me to Grand Cayman for a convention. That was really exciting to me, to fly over the ocean and go over to the Caribbean Sea when I was just 16 years old. I have fond memories of that. Had I not developed the talent of playing the piano, maybe He never would have asked me to go. I don't know. But I really appreciate all the opportunities God has given me. And then all of you, except a few extras here on the edges, all of you are unmarried. We'll exclude those few along the edges there. But you are unmarried. And so one of the big things that's ahead for you is choosing your lifetime mate. Right? That's a big thing. And Cody, you're laughing. But that's all right, honey. Down the road, a few years, it will come to pass. That is next to salvation, the most important step that you take in life. And I see little twosomes around over the ground. And I remember when I was a little twosome walking around this ground. And how you need God's direction. Yes. Oh, how you need God's direction. And you might think you know, but you don't know. Because it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. But I'm here to tell you, as a voice of experience, I'm not telling you something that I haven't tried. But I proved the Lord. Back when I was a teenager, I had a godly mother and father that said to me, busy yourself in the work of the Lord. Give God first place in your life, and He will give you the best man in your life. And God did that. He's right over there. And He asked me to say something good about Him tonight. So I'm saying something good about Him. God gave Him to me. God fashioned Him exactly what I needed in life. And He's been such a blessing, such a strong arm. He's been a wonderful father to our children and now a wonderful grandfather to our grandchildren. God has blessed my life abundantly. Yeah. I highly recommend seeking God's will in your life. Yeah. You don't have to be afraid. I've heard young people say, well, what if I get stuck with an ugly stick or someone that I just don't want? You don't have to worry about that. God will give you a beautiful companion. He will make that person very handsome in your eyes or very beautiful in your eyes. God will give you what is best. He will give you someone that will complement your life and be just what you need. And so you can trust him. Recently, I think it was in one of our youth meetings, Reggie brought up a quote I thought was really good. And it said, fools learn from their own mistakes. Wise men learn from the mistakes of others. So young people, I did have a scripture reading. Maybe we'll turn there right now to Proverbs. Very familiar scripture, but it seemed like my mind was directed to Proverbs, the third chapter. You have lots of opportunity to hear wise counsel. And I know sometimes young people don't really want to listen because sometimes you feel you know more and know better. Down the road, you'll learn that you didn't know more and you didn't know better. It's just a real good thing just to listen up to wise counsel and to the men of God that you're so privileged to hear. But in the third chapter, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I would say everybody here under the sound of my voice tonight knows what it is to live right. You know how to make right choices. You know what is the right thing to do, right? It's doing it. Sometimes it's difficult. But the scripture says, let thine heart keep my commandments. So you want to learn. I tell our youth at home, you are in the time in your life when you're establishing habits in your life. Coming to church every service is a good habit to establish, right? And then just learning to make those right choices. No, others can, I cannot. Others can, I cannot. There may be those around you that engage in questionable activities, and you might wonder sometimes, well, they sing in the choir, they're up singing specials, how can they do that? You know, really don't spend too much time thinking about it, but look upward and say, God, what would you have me to do? Because you're going to answer to God by yourself. So you want to measure your life by him. But serving God has many benefits. The second verse in the third chapter says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Amen. You want to live a long life, don't you? I remember when I was young, I thought I would just live forever. I mean, your future just seems like years and years and years. To get to age 67 where I am, can you fathom being 67 years old? You girls with white hair instead of your beautiful long black hair. I couldn't either. And when I looked at older people, I just thought they'd been old all their lives. You know, I couldn't picture them young. You probably can't picture me young. And that's how I felt too. But you know, life passes by so quickly. But God has promised us a long life and he's promised us peace. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you like peaceful atmospheres? You don't like to go where people are fighting, bickering, treating one another unkind, saying ugly things to one another. Who wants to be around that? We would prefer a peaceful atmosphere, wouldn't we? And the scripture tells us in Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. So one of the things you want to learn to do early in life is trust God. Learn to trust God for every aspect of your life. Do you know you can talk to God about anything? You can talk to God about anything. There might be some people that you don't feel free to discuss some things about your life with them, but you can talk to God about anything. And you know that God will understand, and nothing is too little. Nothing is too piddly to share with him. And I remember being in high school and walking down the halls talking to God. I didn't move my mouth. I didn't say anything audibly. You can learn to commune with God in your heart. There certainly are times that we need to be audibly praying, but there are other times when through our thought processes, you can communicate with God and you can say, Lord, help me in this situation. I want to be what you want me to be. Please help me to have the strength to stand for you. You know what? And God cares and he will. And again, I'm telling you because I know, I've been there. God helped me through every situation in life. I can remember situations I faced in college. College was an eye-opener to me. I was around so much evil there that I had never seen or heard of, and it was like, what? What? And I tried to stay as far away from it as I could. I went to my classes Monday through Friday. I told my parents, pick me up at 3:45 on Friday. And they picked me up, and I came home and did not go back until I had to late Sunday night. I did not like to be around the worldly influences. I wanted to keep my life clean. I wanted to keep my thought processes clean. I was careful what I read. I was careful what I looked at. I'll just tell you, and this is just my own, this is my opinion, my voice of experience, how I felt. I'm not putting it on anyone. I never sat around and watched videos. It was a waste of time. I would rather just be busy doing things for the Lord. And I didn't have to process questionable things in my mind. You know, everything you see and hear will always be there. And the enemy will bring those things back to you, even though maybe you, I didn't want to see that. I didn't mean to see that, but you saw it. So it's forever there. So be very selective about what you see, what you hear, what you do, where you go, who you spend time with. Be selective. You'll be glad that you did. What I really appreciate most about all that is not having to look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have gone there. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? See, I just don't have to worry with those regrets. Because when you channel yourself in the right direction with God's help, then you don't have all that to deal with, and it's wonderful. Verse 3 of our scripture reading says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Let the truth be very important to you. Don't ever take for granted what you hear preached here. Don't take it for granted and say, oh, well, I've heard that all my life. I know it. Da, 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 da. That's the truth. The world is hungering for the truth, but you have it here. You have access to it. And there used to be a sign hanging in the old barn when it was up on top of the hill back in my early days. Sister Frances Wilson painted it, and it said, learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth. We've got to maintain a love for the truth. Yeah. One way we do that is just by living the truth. We know what is right. We know how to live. Put it in practice always in our daily living. How would God want me to live? If he were walking here beside me, because he is, if we're his child, would he be hanging his head in shame, or would he be smiling with approval on our lives? So we need to think about that. The gospel is a very personal gospel. It's a very practical gospel. The scripture goes on to say, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, it's wonderful to please God in our walk with him. And God is very good from time to time at giving us a great big smile and saying, son, daughter, you're doing well. Keep up the good work. You know, God is really good. He's a fair God. He's a just God. He's proud of you when you do well. God is, and he'll let you know. Oh, you know, I've come to call blessings in my life, just different blessings in my life. I call them signature blessings because they're so personal. And I feel like God sends them with my name on them and signs his name with love. God, he's so good to us. God is so good to us. I thank the Lord for his goodness tonight. He has been good to us this week. My husband was stricken with this horrible flu, but thank the Lord it only lasted a few hours, and then it seemed as though it was attacking me, but God took care of it before it got a hold on me. He's so good to us. He just works out so many things in our life. And then a scripture that I learned very early on is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And you know, I've used that scripture over the years, and very late in, you know, just a few days ago, I said, God, you have promised if I would acknowledge you, you would direct my paths. I need direction. And that's how I talk to God. You know, if you live right and you trust the Lord, you have a firm foundation to stand on, young people. And you can go to God and you can say, Lord, I'm expecting you to do such and such because I've done such and such for you. And God keeps his promises, doesn't he? Yeah. Keep talking to God about your life. Keep talking to God about your life. Tyler, don't give up asking God for direction. Keep talking to God about how important it is that you serve him. You want to serve him. You want to make heaven your home, but you're depending on him for direction. Because none of us are smart enough to know what is right in our life. But you know, God has the best for us in life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's another promise we can claim. No good thing will he withhold. I have a story to tell about that, but one of the dear sisters in our congregation has, what does she have? Cerebral palsy. And she's, well, she walked on two canes when she came to us at college age. And one of our other sisters at church in college brought her to church. And the sister who brought her got married, started having a family. And this young lady who was had cerebral palsy and was on two canes, she, of course, wanted to have a husband, boyfriend, husband. And so she would come to the altar repeatedly asking us to pray. You know, she says, my friend here, she has a husband and she started her family and I'm a little older than she is and I want the Lord to give me a husband. Well, in our eyes, it looked kind of like a hard case, you might say. But I would tell her and my husband would tell her every time she'd come to the altar, she'd come repeatedly. And we each would say to her, you know, all we can do is give a person the word of God. My word means nothing, but we point them to God's word because it means everything. Right. Sister Sally, if a husband is good for you, God will give you a husband because he's promised no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so David and I kind of chuckled between ourselves because she came repeatedly over the months and years, and he'd say, you go pray with her. I'd say, honey, you go pray with her. Because we said the same thing to her every time. We couldn't solve her problem. We couldn't answer her situation. We could just point her to the word of God, you know. So we kept that before her. Well, God brought a man in that he saved, and sure enough, that man cast his eyes on her, and a love affair began. And one cute little story about it is she and her boyfriend, as they courted, he played the guitar and she liked to sing. And so they would go to nursing homes and visit shut-ins and whatever every night. That was what their date consisted of. I don't know, maybe they went and had a hamburger together too, but they would go visit someone. And so this one noon hour, she drove by her house on her lunch hour, says, Brother David, after, and I don't remember the number, but let's just say after 68 straight nights of dating my husband, going and visiting, whatever. She said, I'm exhausted. Do you think it'd be okay if we took one night off? And we said, well, sure, you can take a night off if you want. Even the Lord rested, you know, after 6 days. She said, and she she had hand controls on her car, and she was really kind of wicked with that car. But anyway, she stepped on the gas, and as she stepped on the gas, she turned around out the window, and she says, but I don't want to. And we said, okay, well, then go have another date tonight. Can I rest tonight? But I don't want to. Anyway, it was kind of cute. But God brought them together and blessed them with 4 healthy children. See, God will do it. He will just perform miracles if you will serve him, love him, and be faithful to him. God is a faithful God. In the 7th verse, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. We don't ever want to think that we know better. Well, I'm going to go after this one because she's really cute and that's who I want. You better get the mind of God on it. And what was comforting to me when it came to choosing a mate, I thought, you know, I see this man today and who he is and I like what I see, but who's he going to be 10 years down the road? God knows the end from the beginning, but we don't see. That's why we really need to trust him and let him have his way. Everything today in life is easy. You're hungry. You don't have to go cook a meal. Just drive through Burgerville or whatever you have here. You want to buy something? Well, young people, probably some of you already have gotten these credit card offers in the mail. They seem to give the youth credit cards very readily. It's really easy just to slip a credit card. You want it? Just give them a credit card. Worry about paying the bill later. Communication has become very, very easy. Right. When I was your age, if the car broke down, we had to find a ride to the payphone, and you had to put a quarter in, and, you know, it was quite a process. Now you guys have your communication right in your pocket. You know, it's really easy. So everything today is easy. But you know what? Serving the Lord takes some effort on our part. And in order to maintain your salvation, it's going to take some effort. You're going to have to talk to God every day. Okay? I'm not going to tell you how long, when, where, but you must talk to God. The Bible says pray without ceasing, and I never really understood that altogether, but I've had a greater understanding of it in recent times when it feels like I just need to pray all day. Lord, help us. We need help here. We need help here. We need help here. We need help here. But you do need to talk to God. And the more you talk to God, the more you will learn what he wants you to do. The more sensitive you'll become to him, the easier it'll be for him to guide you. Another thing you need to do every day is to read God's word. You got to read God's word. Now, one of the easiest books I think in the Bible to read is Proverbs. So you might want to start there. That's a real good book to read, and there's tons of nuggets of truth in it. And someone brought to me recently, which I think is kind of a neat idea, it has 31 chapters. So in a month's time, most months have 31 days in them. If you read a chapter a day, you get through the book of Proverbs in a month. That's kind of a nice thing to do. I'm not telling you how to do it. Just read God's word. Another thing that I personally feel is important is to memorize scriptures. Do you do that? How many of you systematically memorize scriptures? Has anybody got a plan for that that you stick to? Good for you. All right. I'll tell you what. The scriptures I memorized at your age, guess what? I remember them. I memorize scriptures now, but I have to go over them and over them. Then I have to review them. And I, you know, eventually I get them. One of the scriptures our youth class memorized recently, and I have the young people after they graduate from high school, but we memorized Philippians 4 and 8. Do any of you know that verse? Good for you.
Oh, wait, that's Philippians
4 and 8 is finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Say it with me if you know it. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, if I ask the young people to do something, I make myself do it. I don't ask them to do something I won't do. But when I was very young, I memorized the first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I could repeat the rest, but I won't. Let's stop there. In his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to do more meditating on the word of God. And if you read the word of God, you give yourself kind of a foundation to meditate on. Do any of you spend time meditating? It's a good thing to do. Meditate. Just sit quietly for a few moments and think on a scripture. It's amazing what God will do with you. And we need to cultivate meditation. Science and health people will tell you it's good for your body. And, of course, they have their little ideas about meditation. Meditation is a good thing to do. It's very good for your spirituality. You think I'm strange? Some of you are looking at me like I'm really strange. Meditate. Try it. If you've never tried it, try it. If your mother asks you what you're doing when you're sitting in a corner doing nothing, Cody, tell her you're meditating because Sister Millie said you should. I mean, just think about something God has done for you. Think of something spiritual, and it will really feed your soul. And then just one last thing is you all are very good about coming to church all the time, all the time. You have lots of services here, right?
True.
Don't become a spectator. Brandon, don't come to church and just sit and watch what everybody does. Be actively involved. How can you be actively involved? When the song director's up there, Brother Cummings is always asking us to sing, isn't he? He's always trying to get more people to sing. Take your songbook, open to the page, open your mouth, sing from the depths of your heart, and think of the words as you're singing. This song did my heart so much good tonight. I thought, wow, we could go home now. There's a whole message preached and kept by the power of God. So think about the words of the songs. Don't just automatically sing them. Look, guys, I've sung these songs ever since I can remember. Most of them I can sing without a book. But I make myself think. You got to have a conscious effort. Think about the words of the songs. Let the words of the songs be your personal testimony. Let God minister to your soul through the words of the songs that you're singing. That's not too adultish, is it?
No.
No, you young people can do that. So don't be a spectator in the service. Amen. My husband said this afternoon in the service, every service you should be able to take a tidbit of something from the message home for you personally.
That's right.
I remember a day when I would listen to the man of God preach and I thought, I can't understand what all he's saying. But you know, there was something I could understand.
Right.
That's what I would be responsible
Amen.
For, right?
Amen.
So try to take a nugget of truth from what is being said. Observe. And as I said, don't feel like you have to try everything for yourself and just be sure it's wrong. Maybe it's not as wrong as they say it is. I'm going to try it. No. Look around you. See others who have made that mistake. Learn from their by observing their mistakes. Keep your lives clean. Keep your lives pure and holy. If God spares me another 10 years and I come back, I want to see all of you faithful to Him. You expect me to be faithful, right? How would you feel if one time Sister Millie came back here and I had my hair all cut off and had earrings dangling down here and painted all up and I was up there raising my hand? What'd you think? Yeah, something happened. She had a change of heart. Well, you expect me to be faithful. I expect you to be faithful, right? So let's do our best to be faithful to God, to read His Word, talk to Him each day. God's power is able to keep you to the very end. We love you all, your excellent listeners, and I'm very, very thankful for each one of you.
Amen.